Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show and the Western Conference Finals. Hey, it features several players that were a part of Team USA's success this past summer and bringing home a gold medal at the World Championships in Turkey. Of course, the players we're talking about from the Dallas Mavericks is Tyson Chandler and the Oklahoma City Thunder's Kevin Durant and their point guard Russell Westbrook. We are so delighted to have joining us on the Western Company of Texas phone line the associate head coach for Duke men's basketball. That, of course, is Chris Collins. Chris, it's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. Enjoying it.
Chris, first of all, you were on staff. You had on-court duties with Team USA. We're going to talk about your experience with that here in just a moment. But before we reflect on that, I'm sure you have been watching the Western Conference Finals between the Mavs and the Thunder. What has been your impression so far?
Well, I mean, it was a great game one. Both of those teams have been terrific throughout the playoffs and are certainly teams that I enjoy watching. And, you know, having the chance to work with a number of those guys in USA basketball, whether it was Jason Kidd with the Olympic team in 2008 or now, like you said, with Tyson Chandler and Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, you get a little bit of a rooting interest knowing those guys and seeing how hard they work and going about what they do. So, it was a great game one, unbelievable performance from Dirk, obviously, but I thought Kevin Durant was equally as special in that game, and I think it's going to be a great series and should go on for a long time.
We're going to talk about KD here momentarily, but you know, you've roamed that backcourt. You know what it takes to play that point guard position. What about J.J. Barea and just how effective he has been in that high pick and roll?
Oh, he's incredible, and I tell you, just seeing him in person, I don't think you realize, I mean, he's not that big of a guy.
But
he's so quick, and he's fearless, and he's so confident in what he does, and they get him in those pick and rolls, and I tell you, whether with the Lakers series or now in game one, you better figure out what you're going to do with him, because he's been putting on quite a performance out there.
What kind of adjustments would you make if you were the Oklahoma City Thunder to try to minimize his ability to get untracked and just to totally pick him apart, because he exploits the D?
Well, I think you have a lot of problems because a lot of times, you know, it might be Dirk setting that screen and you have to obviously pay attention to what he's doing. And a lot of times out on the floor, you got him playing with Jason Terry and Paige Stojakovic and just they're spreading you with shooters like crazy. So it puts you in a tough position. Do you want to be really aggressive with the ball handler and try to get it out of his hands and all of a sudden you're opening up those shooters for threes? And or do you want to try to let Barea do what he does off the dribble, which is proven to not be as successful as well. So it's kind of one of those things it's pick your poison and try to live with the results. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Mavs are still playing, because they have so many weapons and they can hurt you in so many different ways.
Yeah, they do. They come at you in waves, and you're exactly right. But I think one of the reasons why the Mavs have been so successful this year and truly has been the X factor, and you've spent time around him, is their center in Tyson Chandler. He has really infused a lot of energy. Can you just talk about how special of a player he is and the defensive presence that he provides?
Well, I think you said it right away. I mean, the first thing I think about with Tyson is energy and enthusiasm. I mean, there's never been a day that I've been around that guy when he's not just upbeat, full of energy, full of enthusiasm, and that's contagious when you're on a team. He's one of the best teammates that I've ever seen. He's so genuinely excited for the successes of his teammates. All he really wants to do is win. So if that means having to block shots, be all over the offensive board, be a finisher, run the floor, take hard fouls, you know, play that role. I mean, he does that unbelievably well and is such a great complement to the other pieces that the Mavs have. And it looks like with what they've done this year, it's kind of been that missing piece. I mean, to add him to the mix, to do all the dirty work, to bring that energy, to bring that enthusiasm, and to be a great teammate, he's been an amazing piece to the puzzle for them.
He's an athletic center, a glue guy. He'll rebound. He'll block shots. Did you guys have to challenge him on the offensive end? I mean, what other areas would you like him to, offensively be able to do?
Well, obviously, you always want a player like that to try to do everything. But I think what Tyson has become comfortable with is who he is as a player. I think one of the things he has continued to improve upon is his ability to make free throws. So when teams abound the basket, when he does go for those lobs or he's trying to finish underneath, you can't just foul him and put him on the line, hoping that he's going to miss his free throws. I think he's gotten better at that. He's really worked to become better at that little 15-foot jump shot when
yes.
that is available to him. And he really understands who he is. He's a guy who's a pick-and-roll player. He rolls to the basket. You can throw him those lobs. He gets positioned for those offensive rebounds, for those tip-ins. And I think for him to play on a team like the Mavs have that have so many offensive weapons, you don't need him to be a guy who's going to be an isolation player in the post where you just throw him the ball and expect him to create offense. He can play off those other guys, do what he does really well, and do that very effectively.
He certainly is a terrific pick and roll, a screen option kind of a guy. But let's move ahead and let's talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. You've spent a lot of time around Kevin Durant. He really was one of the headliners for Team USA, and there's just not enough that you can say for his game. He really has captivated the hearts and minds of so many of the NBA fans.
Well, KD, I mean, he's a special player, and he's is equally special as a person. Getting, obviously, being in college basketball coach, you have an opportunity to watch him throughout his high school career when you're at these camps and tournaments, and you marvel at the kind of talent he had. And then to be around him last summer for a full summer and to see the way he approaches the game, I mean, he loves the game. He loves the preparation of the game. He is a complete gym rat. I mean, if this guy, if he's got any second of the day, he wants to be in that gym. He wants to shoot. He wants to play. He wants to get better. One of the things that really impressed me was how much he does outside of just the practice. He's in the weight room early in the morning. He's doing extra stretching. He's watching film. He's practicing. He's getting extra shots up after practice. And he is such a professional in his approach. And there's a reason why guys like that, you know, obviously they have talent, but there's a reason why guys like that become special because they are so committed to every aspect of the game, and his desire to be great is as good as anybody out there.
No doubt about it. Chris Collins is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is the associate head coach at Duke University. And, of course, Kevin Durant, it's his second straight year leading the league in scoring. And I have to tell you, you had said many times just what a humble young man he is. How refreshing is to see these types of personalities emerge in the NBA?
I think it's great. I think you look in the NBA now, and there's so many young stars who they have a great respect for the game. You know, it's not all about just the entertainment value. It's about, you know, being great players. It's about handling themselves the right way, being a good role model in terms of the image of the league and who the stars are. I mean, you look at Westbrook and Durant and Dirk, and you got obviously Derrick Rose and Wade and LeBron, and there's just so many great young stars coming up now that I think the NBA is in great hands moving forward. And you look at a team like Oklahoma City and with Westbrook and Durant both being 22 years old, I mean, they're going to be around for a long, long time, and they're two great young men, and it's they're great representation for what the NBA should want to be about.
And of course, Chris, in game one, Kevin Durant, he just goes off very quietly, has 40 points. They did not get the win in that particular game, but does he have a ceiling? I mean, how much better can he get? Does he need to put on weight? I mean, when you analyze and break down his game, what areas were you guys perhaps challenging him?
Well, I think the one area that we tried to challenge him in the summer was to be a better defender. And because of his length, his ability, he should be a great, you know, denying guys the ball and being in passing lanes to be able to pick up steals. He's shown to be a terrific rebounder when he really puts his mind to it. And I thought he did a great job for us this summer showing that he could be an outstanding defender. And, you know, sometimes when a guy's expected to throw up 30 points a night, it's hard to play both ends with that kind of intensity and that because you're expected from your team to put up so many numbers on one end of the floor. So, you know, I think as he gets older, I think he'll be a guy who continue to become a better defender. I think he's shown his ability to create his own shot. He has that little step back move.
Yes.
I think one thing that you're going to see him continue to do as he gets older is become even better with his back to the basket. With his length, and he'll get stronger with age. You know, I think he'll be able to get down in the post some, just as we've seen Dirk do as he's gotten older. And, you know, Durant has such a unique ability to get to the foul line, which is a great way to get a lot of points in a game. So, I mean, he might have the number one scoring package in the NBA in terms of being able to get on the break, get on the boards, shoot threes, get to the foul line. And it's just scary to think that he's only 22 years old and that he's probably going to keep getting better.
Going to get better, and of course, he's got a great support system right there in Oklahoma City. We've got to talk about, of course, his point guard. That is Russell Westbrook. How in the world do you evaluate this guy? His talent is so undeniable. He's incredibly explosive, and he's one of the younger guys and youngest stars in the league as well.
He is. I mean, he was an amazing revelation for us last summer, because you watch him and you see a kid who's a great athlete and you see the highlights, but then when you get to see in person just how athletic and explosive this guy is, I mean, he's in his own class with that. He's just nonstop energy. He goes at such a fast pace. He can change ends. And what I love about him is he's very competitive. He loves to compete. He loves to take the challenge on the offensive end and the defensive end of playing against other great players. He's just very aggressive, and in a good way, though. And he wants to win. He has such a bright future, because you see a guy, and when you see a guy who's improved at the pace that he's improved, from a guy who was under the radar coming out of high school and had very few high major offers coming out of high school, he goes to UCLA. He gets better and better with each year that he's there. He's a high draft choice, and you've seen now in just a short NBA career how much he's improved to become one of the top point guards in the league. And, you know, I think he might be the best athlete in the league when you just talk about speed, strength, power, quickness. I mean, this guy is a freak of nature in all those aspects, and you add that competitive nature, you got a pretty special player.
He didn't even start dunking the basketball until he was a senior in high school, and he did not at UCLA play the point guard position. I mean, it is remarkable to just think about, you know, he has been stepping up and required to do things that he's not familiar with.
Exactly. And you know, I think sometimes he gets a bad rap for, you know, because he's aggressive and I think it's misguided. I mean, the guy wants to win. He's about all the right things. He was so good for us this past summer on the USA team. He was kind of like our secret weapon we would bring off the bench. When he came in, it brought our team to new levels. He was a great defender. He can rebound. He can score. He can get to the basket. And I think he's learning as he's getting, you know, he's only 22 years old. I think he's learning how to pick his and choose his spots even better. And he will continue to do that as he becomes, you know, with more experience and he goes through these playoffs. And I mean, he's going to be, when it goes at the end of his career, there's no doubt in my mind, he's going to be that one of those special players that we remember for a long, long time.
So many facets to his game, but the thing that I always come back to is what a great offensive rebounder. I mean, you got to find him, get a body on him, and you can't have soft blockouts. You got to push him out of the lane. I mean, he's crazy.
No question. And from the point guard position, that's what makes him so unique, because point guards aren't used to blocking out like that. Now all of a sudden he's flying to the basket, and if you don't get a body on him, you better duck, because he's coming over you.
Absolutely. Chris Collins has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Before we get ready to wrap it up, kind of give us a quick preview of Duke men's basketball. What can we anticipate coming into the 2011 season?
Well, we're excited about next year. We have three huge losses from this year's team. Three guys we expect to be high draft picks in the NBA draft. Obviously, Kyrie Irving, a great chance to be the number one pick, but also two seniors in Kyle Singler and Nolan Smith that have been kind of a staple in our program for the last 4 years. So it's going to be the dawn of a new era. We're going to have a lot of young guys, but we feel good about our talent level, and we're excited about getting started with a new group, and we feel if we can work with them and the attitudes are good, that hopefully by the end of next year we'll be a team that will have a chance to do something good in March. And obviously going into the year, that's always the goal.
Chris, we certainly appreciate the time. Good luck, and our very best to Coach Krzyzewski.
All right, thanks for having me.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports. Delivering the insight. Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else. Anywhere else. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson. Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum. And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.
The Western Company of Texas is the premier oil field water transfer service in the Bakken, Barnett, Fayetteville, Haynesville, and Woodward Shale, basically all the shale plays. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible to meet all your water transfer needs. With over 100 miles of water transfer pipe and over 90 high-capacity pumps on hand, they're ready to go to work on your next water transfer job 24/7, even with the most demanding timelines. Their employees log over 430,000 hours a year laying pipe in some of the roughest terrain with zero delays and zero excuses. Give their team a call at 682-831-9300. That's 682-831-9300. Or online at wct.us.com.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, getting set to hit on the gridiron with our three-time national champion at Nebraska with Jason Peter. That's right. It is time for our Under the Helmet segment. And I tell you what, Jason, we're always talking about all the great storylines that are happening in the offseason with college football, but let's change things up a bit. Let's talk some NBA. I know you're catching the fever up there in Lincoln, Nebraska. What do you think about this Mavs Thunder? It's some pretty exciting basketball.
Dallas looks good, huh? I mean, this is a team that just rolled through L.A., and now it looks like they might do the same thing to Oklahoma City. Certainly helps when you've got a guy like Dirk out on the floor, and he seems like he just can't miss. I mean, all athletes kind of can get into those zones where it seems like anything they do, it ends up, you know, the results are successful. And that seems to be the zone that he's in. I mean, everything from the free throw line to shooting in the field to everything. Guys can't defend him.
You know, what is remarkable is to think that he has been a part of the league for 13 years, and you think, how much better is this guy going to get? 48 points, as you talked about, just completely perfect from the free throw line, 24 of 24. It was a record-setting performance, and it's just that good German bloodline, right, Jay? We've got a little bit of that in us.
Absolutely. as a German, I can't agree more with that statement.
Absolutely. Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Well, there is some good news that's taking place right now in the offseason. The College Football Hall of Fame has announced its class for 2011, and at the top is Deion Sanders. We know all about what he has meant to the Cowboys organization. You got to love his charisma, his flash, but also he was an All-American cornerback at Florida State. What are your thoughts about him heading up this class?
Well, I think it's exactly what you just said. I mean, he was so successful in the NFL, and I think Deion himself is automatically connected back to the Dallas Cowboys that people forget about what he did in college. And he was just as dominant a player for Florida State as he was in the NFL. And he is the guy that people, coaches, players, they kind of measure themselves against. He is the cover corner. He's the guy that you always put on that number one receiver. And no matter what situation, whether it was a regular season game, playoff game, Super Bowl, he showed up and he was successful, throughout his entire athletic career, going back from high school to college and ending in the NFL.
Of course, he had a stellar NFL career, but, you know, you also think about he went through a lot of dark times professionally, personally. I know that you can identify with that. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I think anybody who played for the Dallas Cowboys in that time period probably went through a little dark period. many nights, too many nights at the White House. But I think it's it just shows the type of guy that he is. You know, even when times are tough, you got to lean on something. And for him, I guess it's, you know, the determination. I know faith plays a big part in his life. But you can't get through the hard times without some discipline as well. And, you know, I know from myself, that's something that I leaned on heavily was, you know, if I was able to get through two-a-days and, you know, I was able to you know, have this much success in football, you know, that didn't come by chance. I worked hard at it. So for me, you know, when I had to clean up my life with drugs, you know, I had to take that same approach and say, I'm going to work at it just as hard. And, you know, it's probably some of the same things that Dion has been faced with, and he's probably approached it the same way.
It's a great testament to just overcoming, I mean, just a true renaissance in his life, how he's been able to get it together. And you nailed it, Jason, talking about how faith has played a major, major role. So we certainly send out our congratulations to Deion Sanders as he will be leading the College Football Hall of Fame class for 2011. What about Heisman Trophy winner Eddie George from Ohio State? Kind of some mixed emotions for your friends up there in Lincoln, Nebraska, right?
Yeah, it's not, I guess, so much that Eddie George got in. He's very deserving in his own right, but it's that Tommy Frazier did not. And this has brought Husker fans back to 1995, when a lot of people, and not just here in the state, but throughout the country, thought that Tommy Frazier should have won the Heisman Trophy. And I know that there were, she's probably, it seems like 85-90% of the national journalists that covered college football after that national championship game against Florida and the game that Tommy Frazier had. I know there was a lot of those guys that said, if I could, I would take my vote back from Eddie George and I would vote Tommy Frazier. And, you know, that's been an argument that people have made for a long time, whether or not the Heisman Trophy should be voted on after the bowl games. I mean, you know, you want to know how guys react in big games.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Tommy, that game, and especially there's a 65, 70-yard run there against Florida where he literally broke a tackle, I think, from almost every guy on the Florida defense, which ultimately ended in a touchdown. But you want to see how these guys react in high-pressured situations. And you don't get any bigger than that in college football. I mean, it was a national championship game. But, yeah, people feel like this guy was a first ballot. If there is, you know, a first ballot Hall of Fame type guy, whether it's baseball or basketball or pro football or college football, I think when you look at what Tommy did on the field, putting his team in three national championship games, winning two of them, you know, being an All-American, won the Johnny Unitas Award. You know, he is, I think, a guy that should be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's an outstanding, or was an outstanding quarterback at the University of Nebraska, when we highlight and talk about Tommy Frazier. But kind of give us the pulse with Husker fans up there, because it seems like he had a little bit of a, just some mixed emotions with his reputation. Is that accurate?
Sure. Even, I would say even within the team, you know, he was a guy that, he was arrogant. And when you were on the field, you loved that. That's what you want in your leader. You want the guy who says, get in this huddle, give me the ball, we're going to take it down the field, and we're going to jam it down their throat, and we're going to score, and we're going to go ahead, and we're going to win this football game. And I think, you know, with Tommy, and you know, I can only imagine, I mean, it's one thing to be a successful defensive lineman. It's another thing when you're the quarterback of a national championship team. And, you know, when you talk about a period in college football in those 90s, you know, there was nobody more dominant than Nebraska was. And he was kind of the face of that era. I mean,
yeah.
Other than Coach Osborne, it's Tommy Frazier. So, you know, everybody writing articles and you know, telling you how great you are. Well, when you're 20 years old, you start to believe that stuff, and you walk around town like, you know, everybody should be bowing at your feet and kissing the ground that you walk on. And you know, for some guys, it was bothersome. And you know, even though you're my teammate and you're a great player, you know, I still expect you to treat me with respect. And, you know, I'm not saying this was a personal issue with me. I'm just saying there was a general feeling that, you know, there were some guys maybe that, you know, weren't the best of friends with Tommy. But, you know, it was about what happened out on that football field. And he was a leader out on that football field, whether you liked him off of it or not. He was the guy that you wanted the ball in his hands come crunch time.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. You can listen to this interview in its entirety on ePodcast, our ePodcast page. And we love hearing from all of the listeners. We've been hearing from a lot of the Mav and the Thunder fans at info@eradiosports.com. I am curious. I always wonder about what some of these players, where they are, you know, what are they doing now? I mean, where is Tommy Frazier? What's he up to these days? Do you know?
Back here in Nebraska, and I think he has a business. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing, but you know, I know he still stays involved with the university, and he did a little coaching at a smaller university here in Nebraska called Doan. And when the roster started the season off with about 32 players on it, because he had driven away about the other 60 that were on it prior to him coming as a coach, that didn't last for too long. Eventually, the Doan, you know, the suits, the presidents, and the chancellors said, you know, this isn't Nebraska, and we love your dedication and your commitment to the program, but these kids, you know, they're out here because they love to play the game of football, and you know, but they're also students as well, and most of them realize they're not going on to play in the NFL.
Right.
Not most of them, all of them realize that. And so that didn't last too long as with Tommy as the head coach, but he's in town, and you know, people still they love Touchdown Tommy.
They certainly do. And, you know, it's no surprise a lot of those former players like yourself have made Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska, that area home. I mean, it's a great area to, you know, raise your family.
It really is. The people here are just blue-collar people, you know, hard-working farmers, and obviously the agriculture business is, the economy is what drives this state. Yeah, I mean, they look forward to Saturday afternoons, Saturday nights, watching, you know, the Big Red, and it's how they identify themselves. I think, when they go out of state and they meet a couple from California, you know, the first thing that's brought up is that football team that Nebraska has.
Yeah.
You know, people are so proud of it out here, and they're so proud of the players. And, you know, even the teams that aren't successful, you know, teams that go 10-4, you know, the support for those teams is unmatched. And then when you think about the teams that I played on were, you know, 3 national championships, you know, people, they don't forget about their players back here. And I think that's a big reason, you know, all athletes like to get their ego stroked every once in a while. Even the guys that have finished for, you know, 15, 20 years still like to be reminded every once in a while about that play that they made on Thanksgiving Day. I think a lot of guys like to come back here and settle.
Jason, my final question for you is, let's give some Sooner love and a shout-out to Clendon Thomas. He has not worn the Crimson and Cream since 1957, way beyond our time. And he will be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, of course, played on those 2 national championships with the great Bud Wilkinson.
Yeah, you know, everything I said about Nebraska pretty much can go the same thing for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And the players that they have down there. And there'll be Oklahoma players getting inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame for for years to come. There's never, even in the down years, there's always some players that come from Oklahoma or from Nebraska. And, you know, this is just a testament to that. I mean, he's, you know, his playing days have been long over. But, you know, people certainly remember, I think, the job that, that these players did. And, you know, it's nice for them to get rewarded. I'm sure there was a point where some of these players think it's never going to happen. And then, you know, that one day they get the call. So, it's a great honor, and you know, it's something that hopefully one day, maybe I'll get the call.
I was going to say, of course, last year your very best friend Grant Wistrom, he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, and your day's coming. It will come into fruition, Jay.
I say I hopefully get the call, not so much because I think I'm one of the best players, but I just don't want to have to listen to Grant Wistrom tell me constantly that he's got this and I don't.
Listen, Jason, we certainly appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you next week, and the storylines just continue to develop between the Western Conference Finals with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Mavs. Stay tuned, okay?
Thanks, E.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.